1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The death toll is at least 90 in the Texas floods, 27 of the victims from a girls' camp. CBS's Jason Allen has been following the search.
Officials here say that they rescued more than 850 people over the last 3 days, some of them from the tops of trees and others from rooftops.
A tropical system that kicked up in the Carolinas over the weekend is moving off the East Coast. One person is dead and two missing in North Carolina.
It was really scary. And then the lights went out. It was dark, and all you could see was the water just moving. That was really scary, for real.
Israel's prime minister will meet with President Trump at the White House later today to discuss the latest ceasefire proposal for Gaza. Correspondent Natalie Brand has some details.
It includes a 60-day pause in fighting or 60-day ceasefire aid for Gaza and release of at least some of the remaining 50 hostages.
On Wall Street, stocks are lower over more threatened tariffs on Asian goods. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Boaters are on the front lines of keeping Wisconsin's waters in balance. Stuart J. Waddles has more on how the DNR is trying to aid in the effort.
The Great Lakes Landing Blitz will be in effect. The process has volunteer inspectors at boat landings statewide through July 13th, teaching boaters how to spot and stop the spread of invasive species.
They're pretty small organisms, so it is challenging to see them because they're translucent. They're kind of clear. But technically, you can see them with the naked eye if you look very closely because they'll often clump together with their neighbors and friends and make these kind of gummy, waddy clumps on fishing lines or fishing nets. But it'd be very easy for boaters and anglers to not see them floating in the water or floating on their live wells.
That's Erin McFarlane, a statewide Clean Boats, Clean Waters educator with UWSP.
And so whether you're kayaking or canoeing or fishing on the lake, making sure that you're looking at all of your fishing equipment, your boat that you're using, your gear, any other equipment that you're just enjoying if you're not out fishing for the day, removing anything attached.
And the Department of Natural Resources is reminding us to help update the beach list. It's to keep people safe and informed on Wisconsin waters. They want to know things like the status of boat launches and bacteria levels. That information is then added to the beach list to give everyone all the information that you need before you go ahead and cool off in the water. Now, you can submit this info right on the DNR's website. And the higher temperatures and increased sunlight in the summer months encourage and spike these algae blooms, and so does standing water. So remember, if the water looks or smells bad, stay out of it and keep kids, pets, and even livestock away. Can cause nausea, vomiting, and may progress to something more serious. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field, where the Brewers open up a series against the LA Dodgers. Milwaukee with a 3-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. Brandon Woodruff held Miami to just 2 hits, 1 run, striking out 8 on 70 pitches in 6 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate, top of the 3rd on FanDuel Wisconsin.
And a drive into left field. That'll get a run in. Plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Churio goes deep. His 15th slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate, and Churio crushed it.
Freddy Peralta gets the start tonight after finding out next week he'll be at the All-Star game.
All the work that we put every day, when you have the right people around, and everything can be great.
Rhys Hoskins headed to the IL with a sprained right thumb. Andrew Vaughn being called up from Nashville to play first base. NBA, the Bucks have re-signed guard Ryan Rollins to a 3-year deal worth $12 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and comfortable with high temperatures scraping the upper 70s and clouds holding off until late tonight. As they start to build in, we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight and be waking up to a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more sunshine for the afternoon and a few thunderstorms are possible later. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, is
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll meet a new candidate for state senate in southwest Wisconsin and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area on the new state budget.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide to the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July 7th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome, everybody, back to work. No school. unless you're taking summer school classes. Zommers, by the way, am I cutting out, or is it just my headset that's cutting out?
It must just be your headset. I'll come in there and see if I can fix it.
That's fine. I think it's a busted cord, a busted component. I'm not sure, but we'll press on. Glad to have everybody here from the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. And overcast skies right now here at the world headquarters in Madison. Hopefully everybody had a fine day. Now there it is. See, when you move that whole box, that's when it goes out. I'm talking to Zommers is here right beside me. He's off camera, as they say, but it's working okay now. So let's let well enough alone. Thank you, Zommers. I appreciate it. Now, he does it all. He's like the old 70s and 80s commercial. He can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never, oh, never let you forget you're a man, because I'm a woman. Azuline. I think Azuline was a perfume, I think. I'm not sure. See if you can find that ad, Zommers. It's been a while. Overcast skies here. Looks like a little bit of rain here and there. Otherwise, pretty nice week. Later on this week, we're going to be broadcasting, coming at you live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, beautiful Chippewa Falls. Our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 until 9, is going to be joining us live there on our set from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Looking forward to that. Should be a good time had by all. Lots of great people lined up to talk about the fair, talk about local things. The big Coob tournament is happening up in the Chippewa Valley, up in Eau Claire this week. I know Jay Matnair, when she and I were traveling last summer in Eau Claire, she had on, and I believe they were on our program as well, people from the Coob tournament. And so looking forward, coming up on Thursday, to have one of the great folks, the main organizer, the director of the U.S. National Coob Tournament in Eau Claire. And my goal, Zommers, this year, my sister, our unofficial on-site producer for these things, I've told her now, I say, I want to find a kid with a rabbit, a pig, a chicken, I don't care, a small animal. Well, pigs aren't small, but I want a kid showing an animal at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and I want to interview them.
That would be cool.
So looking forward to that. So there'll be live animals on the show on Thursday and or Friday. Cannot wait for that. Should be really, really great. Otherwise, a great week, a busy week planned coming up today on the show at 2:35. State Senator Kelda Royce from Wisconsin's 26th District makes, at least for now, maybe one of her final appearances for a while. She's been so kind as to be gracious with her time, coming in every Monday through the state budget process. Of course, last week, the state legislature passed a budget. Senator Royce was a no on that. And then Democratic Governor Tony Evers signed it into law right before the 4th of July holiday. So Senator Royce will be here to help us walk through what some of these items that have now been signed into law really mean for the average Wisconsinite. So looking forward to talking with her. In hour number two, a What's Worse edition today, cheesy, Swiss, or cheddar? Now, again, some people are going to say, Todd, this is an idiotic question because neither one are bad. But I do know some people have feelings. So we'll ask you cheese feelings in hour two. And very excited for this, coming up at 3:35, State Representative Jenna Jacobson of the 50th Assembly District, a Democrat, as she announced this morning at 11 a.m. that she is going to run for state Senate against longtime Republican incumbent Howard Markline, who is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Looking forward to getting to know Representative Jenna Jacobson in hour number two here on the show as well. And lots of other news to get to. Zomers, how was your 4th of July?
Good. Didn't do anything too crazy. Ate some good food. Had a couple of brews.
Nice.
Yeah, not much.
I took it easy on the 4th of July proper, just kind of stayed at home, was exhausted, I guess. I just took a day to kind of rest up. And then Saturday, hung out with some friends at the Union. A little hot, but a good time. Then I went to Richland Center and hung out up there. I helped Mom do a little the gardening, a little weeding, and then a deep clean on the old truck because we're going to be on the road a lot here the next couple of weeks. I'm like, I better get this thing set to go. So I did my truck. And then out of pure Methodist guilt and small town guilt, because there are a lot of neighbors out amongst them, Brady Ewing's parents, out and about, always great to see the neighbors. But I thought to myself, if the neighbors see me washing my truck and I don't wash Mom's minivan, that, you know, they'll think, well, what kind of a schlep is he coming all the way up from, you know, from Madison? And he doesn't even take. So the guilt alone. So I washed Mom's van. And, you know, like the hand washing, which I love. I find it very therapeutic to wash a vehicle.
It certainly can be. And I'm sure your mom appreciated it.
Yes, she did. She did. It was actually a lot of fun. And we took a big Culver's run.
Ooh.
We took a Culver's run.
Great celebration.
Exactly. We had a raspberry lemon ice, not slushy, smoothie. That's where they put the custard in it. And Mom thought, well, we'll kind of get a couple of extra pints to take home. Now, I didn't know this. In Richland Center, when you give a pint, you get a pint. In other words, when you donate a pint of blood at the blood bank, you get back a coupon for a free pint of Culver's custard ice cream.
I did not know that.
How cool is that? And so she had a couple of coupons. So she ordered two pints. Well, they rang her up for a party pack. And when they brought it to the van, here we had four pints of ice cream.
Oh, boy.
So it was, nothing. It was hot. It was hot. So we had strawberries and ice cream. It was a little break. But drank a lot of water, which is healthy as well. It was a great time. Hopefully you all had a good time. I'm going to talk a little, because I thought a lot about all of you people that called in and texted in on the 3rd with your comments, why you were not so happy to celebrate the 4th of July. And I pondered on that, and I thought about it, and I have some thoughts after thinking about it. See, I really do listen. It's not just all one-way communication here. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. I want to start with this. I get it. It's not a Wisconsin-based story, obviously, but sometimes there are just things so big in this country that happen that you have to pause, reflect, and acknowledge this. And this is this absolute tragedy happening down in Texas right now. Reporting from CNN at this hour, death toll from the flooding in Texas is now at 90, including 27 from Camp Mystic, this camp for kids there. It's just catastrophic, and it's so sad. If you have not heard about it over the weekend, basically what happened was this flash flood occurred along the Guadalupe River. Now, 27 campers and counselors confirmed dead after the weekend rains there. many more still missing at this hour. But it just all happened. The river rose like 25 feet in 45 minutes. And then you just heard this morning on the morning news programs, gut-wrenching stories of watching a kid be swept away down the river, screaming for help, and there's nothing you could do about it. And then there was the story of an 8-year-old girl who these other teens were walking after the river went through trying to help people, and they heard this 8-year-old girl screaming and found her under a bunch of roots of a tree, helped her out, and she was essentially physically unharmed. But they're trying to find her parents. It's just unimaginable tragedy. And look, I'm not here to blame anybody on this, but I do think it's appropriate to, again, pause and reflect and point out the hypocrisy in a lot of this stuff as well. So I want to play you a clip. This is from Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, who was in Texas over the weekend and took a reporter's question about this flooding.
Why was the National Weather Service not pinging their phones before 7 o'clock the day of 4th of July? Any of the federal people can answer that maybe for us. I got an update at 7 o'clock, the first one I heard. And I've heard updates throughout the week, but not before 7 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't that a fundamental failure of the federal government's responsibility to keep us safe?
Well, you know, my background is before I was in the secretary position here under the Trump administration, I was governor of South Dakota and served in Congress for 8 years before I was governor. And so I will tell you that for decades, for years, everybody knows that the weather is extremely difficult to predict, but also that the National Weather Service over the years at times has done well. And at times we have all wanted more time and more warning and more alerts and more notification. That is something, and one of the reasons that when President Trump took office that he said he wanted to fix and is currently upgrading the technology. And the National Weather Service has indicated that with that and NOAA that we needed to renew this ancient system that has been left in place with the federal government for many, many years. And that is the reforms that are ongoing there. The timeline that I have, I don't oversee the National Weather Service. That's not under my department. But the timeline that I did receive from them was that the notifications started to look at its expansion for its limited flood impacts area that started on July 3rd at 1:18 p.m. A flood watch was issued. Although it was moderate, it wasn't to the extremes that it was, that when the system came over
the area. All right, let's go ahead and cut off there, Zommers. That's Kristi Noem, Secretary of Homeland Security, who was in Texas over the weekend. Basically, she was soft-pedaling it in this particular cut, but basically saying, National Weather Service does well, but other times not so great. And what the Trump administration is doing is they're peddling this as, well, the technology wasn't good enough. The technology wasn't good enough, and we're addressing that. But what they're not telling you, what they're telling American people, is the cuts that the Trump administration did to the National Weather Service vis-a-vis DOGE, or the old made-up agency of Elon Musk doggy. Here is a clip from May 28th of this year on MSNBC, where they're talking about this very issue when the cuts went through.
From what's forecast to be an above-normal hurricane season, scientists across the country are sounding the alarm over critical staffing shortages. Inside the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, officials are scrambling to fill more than 150 critical National Weather Service roles left vacant after sweeping cuts from the Trump administration. Overall, the service has lost 600 of its 4,000 employees since January. Five former NWS directors calling it their worst nightmare in an open letter earlier this month, predicting understaffing could lead to needless loss of life. Tom Fahey is the legislative director for the National Weather Service Employees Organization and is joining us now. Tom, you have been tracking these staffing cuts and what has become, it appears to be a crisis. What is the critical need right now?
The critical need right now is to have these ready staff that we need to have across the country. We have 122 weather forecast offices, and we have various requirements for meteorologists, hydrologists, and technical specialists to work at all of these offices. You just can't wave a magic wand and say, okay, we're all set. We're not.
That's from MSNBC on May 28th of this year. The point is that these cuts that were made under DOGE, under the Trump administration, they were warned that if you made these cuts, people were going to die. I'm not blaming the entire thing on these cuts, but according to Lonnie Quinn on CBS This Morning, who is a meteorologist, the two administrators who were supposed to be on duty to warn people that night, there was only one, because the other position had been cut by the Trump administration. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Hmong Wausau Festival is back, July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouth-watering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Hmong festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July 7th. Glad to be back with you along with Aaron Zommers on the board. Want to finish up here, just a couple more thoughts on this tragedy in Texas. We're up against the clock there before we went to the commercial. Again, I'm not suggesting every single death down in Texas was, quote unquote, the fault of the Trump administration. But I think it's curious, and I don't think anybody with an objective look at this can say that the problem wasn't made worse by the fact that the cuts implemented by DOGE back in the first part of this year meant that there were some, my understanding by the reporting this morning from national weather forecasters is that they had enough forecasters on duty in Texas over the weekend when these rains hit. What they didn't have were the administrators that were in charge of putting out the word and informing the public. And those were the positions that were cut and or left over, or left open rather, by the Trump administration's cuts. I can't imagine what these folks in Texas are going through today. But I think this needs to be talked about because inevitably, even though it's been slow, thank God so far, there's ultimately going to be a hurricane that hits somewhere this year in the United States. God forbid, but I'd be surprised if it doesn't. There's going to be some more major tornadic activity this year. And part of the reason the people, there's been less loss of life over time is because our technology and our staffing and our commitment to NOAA and to the National Weather Service has gotten better. I was alive when the Barneveld tornado hit here in Dane County, or just outside of Dane County, I guess Iowa County, whatever it was, 25, 30 years ago. The entire town was wiped out. People lost their lives. That tornado hit in the middle of the night. And our technology and our staffing for our weather folks has gotten better since then. And these cuts to NOAA and to the National Weather Service, I'm telling you, if they don't get reversed, what happened over the weekend in Texas is unfortunately going to happen somewhere else, and none of us know whether it's going to be us or the people that we love are affected next. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gene, listening in WCFW, the tap of beautiful Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, thank you, guys, you and Aaron, for covering this. This is significant, and a lot of places aren't really covering it. You know, it's a flood. And, you know, the funds for survival, the things that people need to be healthy and to live are just being whacked. And they've been talking about this for a while. Even some of the weather balloons they've been putting up, not going to do that. There's different things that they're cutting. And then I heard, you know, because I've been watching this on all the different coverage of what's going on here, you know, that even like FEMA was some of the funds, you know, I got to double check sources and things, but some of the funds from maybe FEMA, maybe going for the alligator Alcatraz. Yeah. There's so many awful things happening that impact all of us. And thank you so much for bringing this up, because this is a tragedy. It's horrifying. And then as the man of means that likes to put on a performance is signing the bill that's gutting people's health care and all these things, you know, instead of paying attention to what the country actually needs and deserves. So thank you so much, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Matt, listening in Middleton on WMDX, texts in on the Civic Media app. You can as well. He says, I lived in Texas and flooding is common. Low absorption due to hard rock, etc. They do not mark or label flood areas well, and I blame officials for this. People camp along the rivers that flood, and it is a problem. Yeah. And like I say, I'm not completely 100% blaming the Trump administration. Part of this is just unexpected weather due to, in my opinion, climate change. Part of this is what Matt's saying, that it's not marked as a low line or flood area. But I don't think anybody looking at this objectively can't say that these cuts at Doge had something to do with the lack of warning over the weekend in Texas. Our thoughts, our prayers are with them. I know the Red Cross, there's a number of places, reputable places, that you could give to if you are so led to help out these folks in Texas. All right, I want to get to this story closer to home. State Senator Kelda Royce is going to be in after the bottom of the hour to pick up on this. This is just breaking here in the last couple of hours out of Madison, but it's a more than a Madison issue. According to Channel 3000, WISC-TV, the CBS affiliate here in Madison, several homes of University of Wisconsin Regents, i.e. the border Regents, have been vandalized, according to University of Wisconsin spokesperson Mark Pish. Quote, this kind of conduct is not free expression or protected speech. It's dangerous, unlawful, and unacceptable. We have contacted the authorities and are working closely with them. Anyone with information regarding these illegal activities should contact local law enforcement authorities, unquote, Pitch said in a statement. Says CBS 58 in Milwaukee reported that other Regents' homes had, quote unquote, Free Palestine notes on them. These specific homes that were vandalized have not been disclosed. This is sick. This is sick behavior, and it needs to be called out. Look, I've been outspoken and not agreeing with some of the things that the Wisconsin Board of Regents have done. Vandalism is not the answer, period, full stop. Not the answer. Right before the show, I went down and took a picture here a block away on State Street. I saw this at least three times over the weekend. Written, spray-painted, vandalized on businesses on State Street. It says, quote, you can't vote away fascism. Use direct action. And the action was an A with a circle around it. And Zomers, who's smarter than me on these things, says that's the anarchy, a sign for anarchy. This is not the action. And this is what I say, extremists on the left, this is what I mean. Not acceptable. Back with State Senator Kelda Royce. Get her opinion on that, the state budget, and more. Don't go anywhere. The Farm Report with Pam Yonke and Midwest Farm Report is next. This is the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, the big, beautiful bill has been signed into effect. Does this mean we're still waiting on a farm bill? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Because there are elements within the big, beautiful bill that mimic what a regular farm bill would look like. Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Coordinator for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, says while the big, beautiful bill does include improvements to dairy margin coverage, livestock disaster assistance, and conservation dollars, it isn't really a true farm bill.
While the reconciliation process isn't new, Democrats have used it to pass major, climate investments. It's never been used to reshape core farm bill programs before. So this is a notable shift and could have lasting implications of how farm bill policy is crafted in the future. So we may not see what we've considered traditional farm bills, where, you have the SNAP program, you have the agriculture programs combined into one bill. We may not see that in the future because of the process that's been used this time.
Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Coordinator for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. The big, beautiful bill also included monies for trade investment to help production agriculture. What it did not include was year-round investment in E15, no grazing investments, and no fix to Proposition 12. Wensloff says that is going to mean we'll still need to keep an eye on Washington and find out if they're going to have the appetite for finishing a farm bill this year.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And tickets are now available for the 11th annual Wisconsin Farm to Table event. It's being hosted August 22nd by Trifecta Farms in Fox Lake, giving ticket holders a unique opportunity to discover Wisconsin agriculture through a culinary lens. Go to wifarmtotable.com. And the tickets are available there. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny and comfortable with high temperatures scraping the upper 70s and clouds holding off until late tonight. As they start to build in, we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight and be waking up to a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more sunshine for the afternoon and a few thunderstorms are possible later. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 74.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll meet a new candidate for state senate in southwest Wisconsin and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area on the new state budget.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July 7th. Glad to have you along here on the Civic Media Radio Network from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay, the Mississippi River, all points in between. Glad to have you along here on a Monday. She has been so kind and gracious with her time all through the budget process, and now that it's over, she still comes back and talks. How cool is that? She is State Senator Kelva Royce from the 26th District, which encompasses much of Madison into the Middleton area, the west side of Madison, all through parts of the Isthmus, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and is a member of the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee. She joins us here at the table in our studio, which we always appreciate. Senator Kelva Royce, glad to have you with us.
So good to see you, Todd.
How are you?
It's a fine day.
Yeah.
The state budget is behind us for now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was not what I was hoping for. But I think the good news is now we're going to be able to move on to other things and we can focus on other pieces of legislation and we'll probably have to do a budget repair bill.
All right. Before we get into the state budget, I just want to pick up and get your thoughts on something, a story that I read here right before at the bottom of last hour, coming in the last couple of hours, from the Channel 3 CBS affiliate here in Madison and also CBS 58 in Milwaukee. And that is that the University of Wisconsin system, now known as the University of Wisconsin, is reporting that several of the homes of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents have been vandalized over the weekend. That in conjunction, I just went down here by Michelangelo's on State Street, and I was at the terrace over the weekend, and I saw this being freshly written on at least 3 businesses myself on State Street that says, "You can't vote away fascism, use direct action," and the A is the anarchy sign. I just said, for my money, this is sick. I call it out, in my opinion, full stop, that vandalism, that violence of any kind simply does not belong. And I've certainly had my disagreements with the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, but to use this sort of intimidation to go to their homes, to vandalize them, I think is extraordinarily dangerous. I'd like your comments on this as someone who represents the flagship university in Wisconsin.
I think it's totally unacceptable. In this country, we have an absolute right to express ourselves, but we need to do so peacefully and with our words. And that does not include intimidation, harassment, threats of violence, violence itself, and certainly not vandalism. And, you know, it's disappointing and it's also counterproductive. I mean, many Americans and many people here, myself included, want to see an end to the war in Gaza. It has been a horrific humanitarian disaster. It has destroyed Israel's moral standing in the world. And it has been an absolute catastrophe for that country, for the people who live there. But this is not going to help. What does help is peaceful protest and bringing more people in to your cause, not alienating people by committing crimes like vandalism.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I to your point, I mean, we've both been active in politics, and I try to put myself in other people's shoes as often as I can. And I guess for people who've never truly been in an organized political campaign or never worked in government, never saw how things work, I guess for a moment I might say, okay, I get the frustration. And they think, well, if we just do this somehow, that people will listen to us. But you and I both know that when it comes to violence and intimidation and vandalism, all you're doing is shutting other people's ears off to whatever you're talking about, right?
That's right. You're giving up the moral high ground, and you're turning people off who could be important allies for your movement. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, chalking is a great example, right? At the University of Wisconsin-Madison, spreading messages through chalk is a really wonderful and important way that students communicate with each other.
On public sidewalks.
Absolutely. Yeah. On public sidewalks, and it washes off, right? Mm-hmm. You're not hurting anybody. Yeah. Again, you can make a sign. You can stage a protest. You can write letters to the editor. There's a lot of ways to make your voice heard that bring more people in and help actually affect the change you want to see. If that's what you're interested in, those are the ways that we should be doing. That's how we should be channeling our energy. And I think we need look no further than the very successful No Kings protest that just happened. That kind of sustained energy against the Trump administration, against the authoritarian actions of this government, are essential. It is an important tool for all of us, but it's only going to work if we do it together and we bring more people in. And the way you do that is through reason and peace.
Before we leave this topic, and we'll get into the actual budget here in a second, we had people call in this show on Thursday, I guess, last week on the 3rd. Look, I'm somebody who traditionally likes the 4th of July. I enjoy that.
Me too.
And I said my position was, you know, look, I get as much as I can, that it doesn't mean the same thing to everyone, particularly this year on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk later in the show. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. But I also said that to me, the American dream lives in each of us. It's in our hearts. It's what we try to get out of the country together within our community. And something my former boss used to say all the time, I like your reflections on this as a state legislator. He said, Todd, you got to sell people hope. Mm-hmm. If you're just always witching and griping about everything and the world's going to hell in a handbasket and you never give them a hopeful way forward, you lose people. Mm-hmm. And without, in my case, without being disrespectful on anyone's life situation, what's your reflection as a state legislator, this vandalism now against the Board of Regents, just kind of the flavor of this state and this country right now? I see a lot of people just losing hope. And I think that's not, in my opinion, we got to keep giving people hope.
Well, I mean, I think sometimes we misunderstand hope. We think it's some kind of blind optimism. And in fact, hope is continuing to work for a better world, even when the evidence is all around you that there's deep, deep problems. And in our society, we are facing a very, very difficult moment right now in our country's history. And people are being harmed. We are seeing things that we never thought we would see in our lifetimes. Citizens being deported, people being disappeared off the street and sent to functionally concentration camps, horrific attacks on our judiciary and on the separation of powers. Let's not undersell that. But if we don't want that, if we're not going to go along with that, the way that you do that is you keep on working because you believe that we can make it better. And if you stop believing that, then you have given up. Then you are essentially giving us over to authoritarianism. And I love this country. And for that reason, I will always try to criticize her and make her better.
We're talking with State Senator Kelda Royce of the 26th Senate District here in Dane County. She is also a member of the Joint Finance Committee. She's been so gracious as to say, hey, you know what? I'll talk to this. One of the many things I love about Senator Royce is that she's never afraid to have difficult conversations and just be honest. And quite frankly, what more can you expect of an elected official these days, in my opinion? And so she's willing to take your calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app, if you specifically were getting into the state budget here. And if you have a question, because there's been a lot of, especially with the holiday weekend, people are like, what the heck really happened here? And so if you have a question about the state budget or state government in general, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. All right, Senator Royce. So the budget kind of got done quickly. It kind of all came together. Democratic leader of the state Senate, Senator Hesselbein, was brought in and I think, in my opinion, made a really bad bill at least better. And I think one of the, we talked to Dan Schaefer, our political editor, on Thursday. I think one of the big winners in this whole thing was the Senate Democratic Caucus, who got a seat at the table and got some things done. You were a no vote. We'll give you time to explain that. But just your general reaction to the budget process and Governor Evers signing it into law at 1:32 a.m. on the 4th of July, or the 3rd, whatever it was.
Well, I think the most important thing about this budget is that we were in a terrible race against the federal government, against what Republicans in Washington are doing to try to throw 17 million Americans off of their health insurance. And had we not passed a budget in time, we would have lost over $1 billion for Wisconsinites, and it would have been absolutely devastating. So having that time pressure, I think, really forced Republicans to make a deal. They, you know, they knew that in the Senate, they didn't have the Republican votes to pass it. They had to finally, they left it to the last minute, irresponsible and reckless of them, but they did finally invite Democrats in. So Senator Hesselbein did have a seat at the table. That said, I mean, I think the results show that this is a Republican budget. This is a budget that's going to allow us to limp along for another 2 years. It is less bad than it would have been. And for that, you know, we should be grateful. But I don't think anybody should be patting themselves on the back. This is not a budget that gives our kids what they need. This is not a budget that invests in the future. This is not a budget that is going to help set Wisconsin onto a strong path forward. And so I don't like to see people kind of taking victory laps on it.
I'm really glad you brought up that race to the clock. We talked about that with Dan Schaefer last week. For those that might have been early 4th of July vacation, the state of Wisconsin, if they would not have gotten the budget passed and signed by Governor Evers before the federal budget got passed and signed into law by President Trump, Wisconsin would have lost millions, if not billions of dollars.
Over a billion.
Billion dollars in monies that would have gone to health care, correct?
That's right. Because this has to do with changes in how we basically pull down federal money to healthcare providers, specifically to hospitals, and changes in Medicaid, which is a huge insurer here in Wisconsin.
And of course, the irony is my former party continues for how many years now not to take the federal Medicaid dollars, one of five states, and now all of a sudden, you know, Robin Voss is, the clock is ticking all of a sudden.
It's, you know, what's crazy to me is, you know, Republicans, they passed this bill where they're going to throw 17 million people off healthcare. They realize it's going to cause mass closures of rural hospitals and nursing homes. So they're going to now pass a bailout bill to give money to these providers, but they're going to just pay the providers to stay in business. Why not pay so that people can have health care and so those providers stay open? Why just give the handout to the provider without getting the care? Yeah. It makes no sense.
Lots of questions to get to that I have, because I really want to, you're so good at this, explaining what this bill now that's signed into law means for Wisconsinites. But hey, people want to talk to you, Senator, and I'm not gonna hold up. The phone lines are lit up. Let's go to the phone lines in order. Do not hang up, as Matt Flynn likes to say. We see you on the lines. We'll take them in order of your calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Charles in Madison, listening on WMDX. Charles, thanks for calling. What question do you have for Senator Royce?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. I'm a 22-year-old that's living here in Madison, and one of the issues that I noticed a lot of people my age seem to agree on is that we need a better public transportation system. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask the state senator what she thinks our public transportation system should look like and why.
Great question. And actually, transit was one of the areas that really got screwed over in this last budget, I'm sorry to say. While we did have some increases in transportation funding and big highway projects and road building, all got more money. But transit, no, not even $1. And, you know, when I'm 45, actually, no, I'm 46. Just had my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I don't know if it's, you know, you're on the downhill slope there.
I'm 10 years older than you, almost. I'm 9 years older than you, Senator.
I still have yet to peak, I hope. But, you know, nobody younger than me wants to be driving around in a car all the time. If we want to be attracting young families to stay here, if we want our communities, whether they're cities or towns, to be vibrant, we've got to have transit. That's the vision I have, is transit in every community and intercity rail.
Do not hang up. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Come back more with your questions for State Senator Keller Royce after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're gonna hear me roar.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report, we told you that 96% of New York City voters found ranked choice voting easy to use and liked that it gave voters more options. So why have 17 states banned ranked choice voting, including 5 just this year? Pro-voter groups tout RCV because it allows voters to choose a favorite candidate without being a spoiler, can reduce negative ads and rhetoric, and eliminates expensive runoff elections. Alaska implemented ranked choice voting in 2022's congressional race, but after upstart Democrat Mary Pottola defeated former Republican Governor Sarah Palin, RCV was blamed. A resolution by the Republican National Committee opposing RCV nationally followed, and Alaska voters had to beat back a repeal initiative in 2024. While used in Maine, Alaska, D.C., and 47 municipalities nationwide, 17 red states have now banned it, including Kansas, North Dakota, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Arkansas. Party leadership and the RNC resolution argue that RCV is hard to understand and suppresses turnout. But where it's been implemented, voter satisfaction is often over 80%. In the New York City primary, 9 of 10 voters said they understood it, and turnout was the highest in decades. Organizers have more work to do. Voters defeated pro-RCV ballot measures in 5 states last year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media Radio Network here on a Monday, July 7th, 2025. It is now 52 minutes past the hour, or 8 before the hour at 3 o'clock. We have an hour number 2, What's Worse for You? And Senator Royce has given us a bonus round. If your calls keep coming, she'll keep answering at least for a while. So State Senator Keldra Royce of the 26th District here in Dane County is our guest here on a Monday. She is a member of the Joint Finance Committee, which helped write the budget, here to help walk us through what the results of this budget bill, which is now the budget law, signed into a law by Governor Tony Evers in the middle of the night, trying to beat that federal deadline to so as to recoup about $1 billion for Wisconsin taxpayers. By the way, that song off of Senator Royce's Spotify playlist, The Kids Say It Slaps. That's what I've heard they're saying out there. Very, very nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
You have a very eclectic taste.
I do.
I love that about
it. I like it all.
Yeah, very good. Absolutely. let's get back to the phone lines. If you have a question on the state budget for State Senator Keldra Royce, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Take you in order of the call. Paul, listening in Spooner. Paul, thank you so very much. You had a question for Senator Royce about school funding. Go ahead.
Yeah, Senator, thank you for being there for me. At least I have some senator somewhere looking out for me. Up here in the northern state, part of the state, I just received a mailing, a flyer in the mail regarding school spending. And they're telling us now with this big budget bill spent passed, this organization is now telling us that our taxes are going to go up by $300 and some a year because the governor's veto that adds $300 for the next 400 years. So they're telling us that's going to go on the backs of the taxpayers now because the school district no longer has to go to referendum, according to what this flyer is telling us. But what's going to happen in the future of school funding? I guess that's the big question. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really aware. So what is the state doing for us? Because we know that Department of Education is going to be gone. Don't plan anything from the federal government. They're telling us our local taxes are going to go up because of this. So what's this future? What's
Thanks,
going
Paul.
On for the school board?
Great question, Paul. And this is something we talked a lot about during the budget. Because Republicans chose to give $0 additional in general school aid, even though we've had high inflation increases, yes, it is very possible that your property taxes are going to go up. And more importantly, we have been stuck in this cycle for now almost two decades of underfunding or cutting our schools at the state level. The state doesn't do its fair share. And then local school districts have to beg their local property taxpayer and pit neighbor against neighbor. People say, I can't afford higher property taxes. I want to stay in my home in this community, but I can't afford it. But I want our kids to have good schools, right? And that affects our property value. So it's a horrible thing that Republicans' recklessness on the budget has caused. And unfortunately, this budget is going to continue that same problem.
I spoke a little bit with your staff. I love about the transparency about you and your staff, by the way. And I said, look, I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. You have one of the bluest districts in the state of Wisconsin. I maybe in retrospect, I was a little hard, and you're not here to talk about anybody else, but I was a little hard on Representative Hong because she was out there on her social media saying, hey, vote, get your Dem legislators vote against this. But to that point you just made, and this is where I have to walk back my comments and keep myself honest, this is a nearly horrific budget for K-12 education. And for Democrats who voted no on this, I would make the argument for myself. You speak for you. I think that people who voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education. This budget doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Here's a trick question for you. if you were governor, would you want to run for election on this budget?
Oof.
I won't make you answer that. Next call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jordan in Madison, WMDX. Quickly, Jordan, what say you?
Senator, thank you so much for the way you voted on the budget. And I wanted to ask you, where do you think the line is drawn between the acts of violence, which are significantly off, should be off the table, versus general civil disobedience in regards to the heinous acts that are being perpetrated by the administration?
Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really dire time, and I think we need to, as a movement, we need to be strategic about bringing people in. And so things that are alienating the folks we have to kind of persuade to go with us, I think, are counterproductive. I think some of the most effective protests are the ones that have joy, right? That are fun, that bring people in. You know, when I feel like I can bring my kids there and it's a family feeling, I do think this is a thing that Madison does really well. I love this about my district. Even if I don't agree with what we're protesting any day, like, we actually do know how to bring people in into a movement. We saw it with the protest against Act 10. We've now seen it with protests against the Trump administration, number one, and currently, you know, if you're going to do civil disobedience, like blocking traffic or something like that, make sure it is nonviolent. Make sure you're doing it in as safe a way as possible and be prepared to accept the consequences for that. I mean, that is a key component of civil disobedience. It's not just that you get to break the law. It's that if you're going to break the law, you have to be prepared to accept the consequences. But you know, we can win by coming together and speaking out against what's wrong because the people are with us. They just need to see us.
855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Carol in Appleton, listening to WISS. Carol, I got about 45 seconds. If you go quickly, please.
Sure. Hi, Senator. Thank you so much for your continuous support for public education. Here's my question. With the special education increase and the zero state general aid, do you think public schools will be able to keep pace with the inflation this year?
I think it totally depends on it depends on the district. You know, two-thirds of the districts, because of the state aid, are actually going to lose money this year, according to the public instruction department's estimates. Now, some of them may make up for that a little with the special aid increases, but that's, remember, that's not a sum sufficient amount, right? There's a fixed dollar amount. So when it runs out, it's out. And that means that we probably won't actually hit those targets that were touted as special education reimbursements.
Well, give me more time on the other side. So this is really, really important, this funding of public education. State Senator Kelda Royce is our guest. She's going to stay. So Denise in Green Bay, don't go anywhere. Have a beverage. Come on back. We'll take your question on the other side. News, weather, and sports update. You're listening to the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The death toll has climbed to 95 in the Texas floods, and many are still missing. Kerrville Mayor Joe Herring.
I need to tell my community and those families who are waiting, this will be a rough week.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt on whether cuts to the National Weather Service played a part.
To any person who has deliberately lied about these facts surrounding this catastrophic event, you should be deeply ashamed.
President Trump has been sending letters to trading partners warning them of tariffs on August 1st if they don't reach a trade deal with the U.S. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Letters to the leaders of Japan and South Korea telling them that they will face a 25% tariff on imported goods and that the tariff may come down if you start building more of your goods in the United States.
Letters were also sent to Malaysia and South Africa, among others. On Wall Street, that made investors nervous. Stocks are lower, the Dow off 524. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.